instructions to the letter. Well, kids got this big hunk of a test and they thought, oh man, I better get going or there's not enough time. And so they start scribbling out answers to these questions. Didn't read the instructions. If they had read the instructions all the way to the end of them, it would have said, put down your pencil, don't make any mark on your paper, and just sit quietly at your desk. And so they're all in there and they worked frantically for an hour and didn't read the instructions. First things first seems really important, and it's illustrated in the way that these queries are structured. Queries numbers 2 through 13 cannot possibly be answered in a positive way unless number 1 is underway in your life. It's the same illustration as the Beatitudes. That first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who will acknowledge their need for God. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Unless that acknowledgement of need for God is present, the Beatitudes process cannot begin. Because we will not seek truth, we will not seek God's presence, we will not move into the place where God is truly king, in charge of everything. And so we look at the first query first. A query that, for my money at least, mirrors 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. And it asks four basic questions in this first query that are answered by Peter in this passage. The first question is, do you live in a constant awareness of God's presence? The third verse of this passage from Peter says, he has provided us everything we need in order to be able to do that. He has given us everything we need for life and for godliness through knowing him. Not knowing about him like Paul knew about Uganda, but knowing Uganda and knowing Ugandans. God has given us everything we need for life and godliness through knowing Christ. He has called us in love. He wants us to know him in relationship, in friendship. He wants us to live in constant awareness of his presence. God wants this to happen. All he needs is our willingness to apply ourselves to it. Those who fail to experience the constant awareness of God's presence in their life is explained later on in verse 9 of this passage. Verse 9 says, if anyone does not experience this, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. I know all about that nearsighted thing because I've had to live with it since I was in junior high, and I haven't liked it much. But what I know is that nearsighted people can see things up close but not so well far away. That's why the driver's license people don't like you unless you've got glasses on. It is about, let's forget about ourselves and magnify the Lord and worship him. When we are nearsighted spiritually, it means that we only see ourselves and we don't see anything else. We focus on ourselves. That's nearsightedness spiritually. And it leads to blindness to God so that we don't see God at work in the world all around us. When we make a lack of effort to know Christ, it indicates that we have ignored or devalued his death on the cross and his resurrection from his grave to purchase our salvation. That ignoring or devaluing forgiveness and salvation is evidenced by self-focus, by spiritual nearsightedness, the inability to see anything beyond ourselves, and blind to everything else, blind to others' needs around us, blind to God's presence all around us. It is the exact opposite of the Beatitudes journey. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart. That's Beatitude number 5. Those who have taken that journey become pure in heart, single of eye, and they are the ones that the promises will see God. That's the first of the four questions. The second of the four questions is, are you obedient to the Spirit's leading and to the Spirit's timing? The fourth verse in this passage says, he has given us very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world that is caused by evil desires. He gives us those things by his glory and his goodness. What he has given us, this very great promise that is ours, is his indwelling spirit, the thing that Jesus told his disciples to wait for there in Jerusalem. Go in Jerusalem and wait. And when I'm ready, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and your lives will never be the same ever again. The Apostle Paul speaks of that same experience in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, when he, all through the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, but he says in that last verse, we have the mind of Christ. When we know him, we learn how to think like him because we give him our brain and we let him think his thoughts through our existence. That's what Paul meant when he said we have the mind of Christ. And having the mind of Christ enables us to participate in the divine nature. It allows us to be awakened to God's intentions and God's timing. Are you obedient to the Spirit's leading and to the Spirit's timing? You need the mind of Christ in order to be able to do that. And those who do not participate in the divine nature, those who have forgotten their forgiveness for sin and their salvation, are those who tend to go when the Spirit says, wait. So they're always constantly trying to get out ahead of God. Or they are those who drag their feet when God says, go. They are not obedient to the Spirit's leading and the Spirit's timing. That's the second question. Are you obedient? Have you received His Spirit so that you can be responsive to the Spirit's leading and timing? The third question is, have you given yourself to disciplined growth? Make every effort, Peter says in verse 5, every effort. In other words, apply yourself intentionally and sacrificially to the practice of prayer and meditation and study so that you can grow in Christ-likeness and in maturity of spirit. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and kindness and love. Make every effort. I love what Richard Foster says in that second quote in your bulletin. We ought to be the people who live as though the spiritual transformation of our lives is worthy of our very best efforts. He is echoing Peter when he says that. Our spiritual lives are worth our best effort, our top priority, the thing that we care about more than anything else in life. That is the disciplined growth that is queried in this third question under number one. And the fourth question, are you being a good steward of life and of God's gifts to you? Verse 8 addresses that. Verse 8 says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective or unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you being a good steward, or are you ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of Christ? An effective and productive life in all aspects results from knowing Christ in a real friendship. It results from listening to, hearing the Holy Spirit, and then jumping up to obey. Not questioning whether I should obey or not. Sometimes questioning his exact intentions, but always ready to obey promptly the leading of the Spirit in the timing of the Spirit. That's what it means to make every effort in order to grow and mature spiritually. That's what it means to be a good steward of our life and of the gifts that God has entrusted to me. An effective and productive personal spiritual life, a life that is always in process because not one of us is perfect. We all have much farther to travel in this spiritual journey. But that effective, productive, personal, spiritual life is in process, and it is the essential requirement for all the rest of these queries to ever be able to be fulfilled in our lives. It is essential that we are purposefully and eagerly doing these things in order that, as verse 10 says here, we can live into the reward that is awaiting us. The reward both of a fulfilled and mature and productive and effective life here on earth, but a life also in the presence of our Creator for all eternity. And so the questions Again, read. Are you striving for the constant realization of God's presence in your life? Are you obedient to the leading and sensitive to the timing of the Holy Spirit? Are you using prayer and meditation and Bible study and other devotional literature and other disciplines in order to grow and mature in your spiritual life? How are you seeking to be a faithful steward of your life and of everything that God has entrusted to you? Serious questions for a serious time. I hope that we will live with those questions for the next few days. Allow God to challenge us towards greater faithfulness and greater obedience. It says here we're going to sing one more song. Would you please grab a hymnal and we'll turn to number 358. Val, I'll do this so you are handicapped. This number 358, I am thine, O Lord. We will close. This is a prayer. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. 358, please stand. I heard you pray it. I'm going to say amen. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Please stick around for donuts in your classrooms. It's Teacher Appreciation Day. Thank you for coming.